Welcome to the Why Tesla Model Y podcast. This is episode 3. I appreciate you guys tuning in. Let's jump right into it with the post that caught my attention over this past week. We have fewer than normal. I think we've only got 4 in total, but we'll jump right into it. The first one, so this is one where the title reads, "On Order, What Are Your Top 5 Things to Do First?" And it's just a photo of basically this ordered vehicle that this user, Chopper 189, looks like they just purchased. The actual post itself reads, "Tesla Model Y on order, should be here in about 4 weeks. With so much technology, what are your top 5 things I should be doing in the first few hours, of getting this car?" The design, Model Y long range, dual motor, of course all-wheel drive, midnight silver metallic, 19-inch wheels, all-black interior, 5-seat, and of course just autopilot computer. So I want to read through a few of these comments. I think, again, it's an interesting perspective for those that are, prospective buyers, those that are in this situation as Chopper 189 and just purchased but haven't yet taken delivery. But then also those that maybe a few months, even a year into ownership and wondering things that they may have overlooked or common accessories that folks get. So I'll read through a few of these. The most upvoted comment is from Ike Teak, and it reads, "Number 1, install level 2 charger at home. Number 2, floor mats and a trunk mat. Number 3, set up profiles and drive preferences." 100% agree with that. Love that feature of the Tesla. You can basically program your keys for each specific driver. Same thing with the mobile app. When you walk up to the vehicle with a device, it'll register, okay, this is driver A that's about to drive the vehicle. It'll adjust your seat. All of your advanced options and settings that you've selected will automatically map to that particular key that you use to access the vehicle. If you access at the same time, thankfully you can set one device to be the priority, but you can also basically at any time flip back and forth between profiles. So if for whatever reason it picks up, let's say your wife's profile logs in as that person, you can click over real quick to yours. All your settings are preserved and right there for you, which is 100% agree, fantastic feature. But there are so many different settings, a lot of which, sure, you can do some of it through the app, but a lot you'll just want to sit in the driver's seat for about a half hour and play with and set your preferences on your profile. So a lot of that, frankly, you can't do until you take delivery. Number 4 says, "Find some random panel misalignment." And number 5, "Return to this forum and complain about said misalignment." As many people do. Comment number 2 reads, "0 to 60 5 times in a row." Let's see. Oh, this is a fantastic one here. This is from Jag Uno. The comment reads, "Make sure to limit the trunk height to avoid hitting your garage door. Hit the door on the first day," with a smiley face. Agree. This was one that because I park in a parking garage, I'm apartment living with the Tesla. I think I mentioned in episode 1, it's been great so far. It's not as negative as you read. But that did catch me off guard, as how dang high that trunk hatch pops open to. Thankfully, of course, you can hold the opening button once the trunk is open. You can set the desired height. So that is definitely a lifesaver and will save you from scraping the back paint. Another comment here reads, "If it's your first Tesla, before driving home, drive in the Tesla parking area. Stop and go a few times, back up a few times. Regen braking is very different first few stops. If possible, drive home in a less traffic area." While I can't speak to that because I bought used, I bought with, 32,000 miles on it. Can't relate to that in the first few stops made actually in the vehicle, but I can speak to, using regen braking for the very first time coming from a vehicle or from, a couple vehicles that of course didn't have it. Took me at least a couple days to get used to. I absolutely love it now, and it's honestly, it's hard to switch back to a vehicle that doesn't have it. It takes me 10 plus minutes to reacclimate to, oh wait, my vehicle's going to coast when I let up off the accelerator, and I actually have to hit the brake if I want to slow down. It takes me a lot longer now to switch back and forth between a Tesla using regen braking versus a vehicle that does not. So agreed with that. If you're not used to the regen braking, definitely try to get the feel for it. Perhaps drive home in a lower traffic area rather than throwing it onto the highway for the first time. But same comment also reads buy mud flaps and buy floor mats. I'd agree. I did the same. I bought all four mud flaps, the front two from Tesla, and then the back two I found off Amazon. Couldn't agree more. One, aesthetically, I think it makes the vehicle look a heck of a lot better. But two, those front two mud flaps in particular, absolutely necessary to present all the rock chips on that rear panel on both sides of the door. Floor mats, though, I don't know if I'm in the minority here. I know nearly everybody loves their all-weather, washable floor mats. I think it depends on where you live. I have the floor mats. I have the Tesla all-weather floor mats, but I only use the rear seat all-weather floor mat and have that put in. The front two, I have them sitting in my frunk. I honestly prefer the carpet. I know I think I'm in the minority with that take, but I prefer the carpeted, just stock floor mats, something about it. I don't want to be having my feet on plastic up there. I guess I have them in the frunk. If I'm ever in snow, I'm ever in rain, I'm ever in mud, I don't want to track it onto the carpet. Sure, I can pop them in quick, but day-to-day driving, I actually prefer the carpet. The last comment I'll read on here from user FFurman40 just reads, make your first service appointment. Agree with that as well. I mean, it goes without saying, and so I purchased my vehicle in Texas. Of course, Texas requires a state inspection, so I had to knock that out. I took that to the Tesla service center. I also mentioned, I think it was episode one, potentially two, the tire foam in one of my wheels came completely loose. I didn't know it at the time. All that I knew at the time was anytime I took the vehicle over 70 miles per hour, crazy, crazy shakes and rattles in the steering wheel, in the cup holders, in the driver's seat, that I knew something was off. Through Reddit, thankfully this Tesla Model Y subreddit, I was able to find, okay, it's likely the tire foam that popped off in one of the wheels or some sort of, wheel balance issue. It was spot on. The service center found that. They ripped out that foam. Now I've got a smooth ride. And that whole visit only cost me $7 for my state inspection, which was awesome. So anyway, there's a lot to do. when you order and the vehicle's not going to be there for 4 weeks, but Chopper 189, hopefully that post obviously got a ton of engagement. Hopefully that keeps you busy for quite a while before that vehicle gets delivered, but congrats nonetheless. The next post that caught my attention over this past week, it just reads, this is going to be an issue. If you've been on the subreddit over the past week, you probably know the post I'm referring to, and it's a photo of a strip of, 8 to 10 Tesla superchargers. The interesting thing is it's what looks to be the OP's vehicle backed in neatly to the Tesla spot, supercharging as you'd expect. And there's two other non-Tesla vehicles. One is a Ford F-150 Lightning parked at the far end of the supercharging spots. Awkwardly parked, almost like diagonally parked in towards the end. Looking like, a lot of people were saying, hey, that's actually polite. That's the right way to do it. He's just, got to stretch that short, I think it's a 5, maybe 6 foot Tesla cable to what I think is the front left or maybe front right portion of the Ford F-150 Lightning is where their charge port's located. By the looks of this picture, though, I mean, it looks like he's He's taking up two complete spots, if not two and a half or three. So I can't agree with the comments that say, hey, he was doing it the right way. I mean, he's kind of blocking one of them, but right behind him looks to be another supercharger that's not being used. He's completely filling up another spot and parked over the line of another spot. So essentially taking up two, maybe three spots here. Doesn't seem to be plugged in. I don't know if it's he's just trying to figure out the best way to pull in there, how he can get it going. But anyway, the other vehicle that's parked here, could be argued that they're doing it the right way. So this is a it's a Volkswagen. I gotta say, it's with the ID4, I think is the name of it. It looks like a small kind of compact SUV perhaps. Now the way they did it, they look to be parked on the back side of the supercharger. And now I'm not sure if those are actual spots for the supercharging station, but it looks like this vehicle may actually be doing it in somewhat of a polite way. They pulled around the back of the supercharger. They're parked parallel style, so the vehicle is covering up, you know, two, three superchargers. But I can side more with this Volkswagen driver because it looks like they're not covering up any, you know, supercharging parking spots per se. They just, you know, took a plug and they took it to the backside. So leaving ample room for everybody else. So nothing too egregious about that. But the post sparked a ton of comments, 459 upvotes, 237 comments. The title of the post, like I said, just read, "This is going to be an issue." User Geology4Lifer posted it. The actual post itself reads, "Lightning and," so I guess it was an ID4, "Lightning and ID4 trying to get some charging done on their new network. There may be a flaw in the system." So that's the interesting thing is, again, I've only owned a Tesla for a little over a month now. I have actually never seen, granted I haven't supercharged too often, I've never seen a non-Tesla vehicle using a Tesla supercharger. This is obviously something that's going to become a lot more common, as it seems as though non-Tesla vehicles are adapting their charge ports to match the standard Tesla charge port. Tesla also, of course, granted access to their supercharging network for all non-Tesla auto manufacturers, because there's obviously no network of EV charging such as Tesla has. So if you own another EV, fantastic for you. You got access to a network all across the country. But for Tesla folks, a bit of a downside, could get a bit more crowded, especially even with non-Tesla vehicles. The interesting thing is the comments were all over the place on this one. I won't go into too many, but quite a few folks said, hey, they're actually doing it the right way. One guy's parked in the far end, the other guy's parked around the back. One comment does read, hey, it's not like Tesla is not aware of this. They're working on retrofitting charging stands with longer cables, and new stations seem to be better designed to accommodate vehicles with different port locations. So could obviously take a while. They've got a ton of supercharging stations all across the country, but good to hear there. I've obviously seen tons of posts of folks with trailers, with bike racks on the back, and there's some trailer-friendly supercharging spots that are coming in on spots across the country, which is good to see. Any other comments here? I don't think there's any here that stick out in particular. Folks saying we need standardization on charger location would be nice. Yep, if all EV manufacturers accepted a standard port location, Tesla needs to make longer cords. So surely Tesla's monitoring the subreddit. Plenty of good feedback in there. All right, two more posts that caught my attention this past week. One, the title just read, "Downloading my software update this morning like... ..." Hilarious photo. It's basically what looks to be this user's house. It's user Farframe 416. It is a Tesla Model Y parked in the grass in the front yard of this person's house, 3 feet away from what looks to be perhaps their living room window. The actual body of the post just reads, "Should I get a new network?" I think the short answer's got to be yes. If you have to park 3 feet away from your living room to reach that Wi-Fi connection to update your software, but I think there's better ways of doing this. Again, I'm apartment living right now. So honestly, I've used a hotspot before, I've used Starbucks Wi-Fi before, I've used library Wi-Fi before. There's tons of different places you can go to basically grab those over-the-air updates. Superchargers as well typically have Wi-Fi. I noticed that with my recent trip. I went from Austin to Dallas and back. My vehicle auto connected to the Wi-Fi at the supercharger, which was nice. It started auto downloading that software update for me. So short answer is perhaps get a new network or broaden the connectivity. But I think the other option is mobile hotspots, Starbucks, your local library. There's tons of spots with Wi-Fi connectivity that surely you can park close to, grab yourself a coffee, hang out, and download that software update. But great photo nonetheless. I think that made quite a few people laugh. The last post that caught my attention of this past week, this was an epic photo. This was from user It's Alphanumeric. The post just reads, "Cozy in a blizzard." Man, I wish I could show you guys a photo on a podcast. But absolutely legendary photo. It's a massive fog in the sky. It looks like you can't see more than maybe a quarter mile. No idea where this user's at. It looks like potentially some sort of campground, as there look to be, some every 50 yards or so, some cabins or something in the background. Anyway, the Model Y is plugged in. No idea where. There don't seem to be any walls or buildings nearby, but covered in snow. The ground is covered in snow. Foggy, hazy night. Just an absolutely epic photo. Some of the comments, one is from the OP. It just says, "I drove back and forth to pat down the snow like a dog bedding down for the night." It's a car. You got to do it. One says the pic is cold. The other one says, "Thank you, I enjoyed the picture." So not a lot of traction on this post. This was actually 3 days ago. Didn't get the upvotes it deserves. Didn't get the comments and love it deserves. But absolutely epic photo. I live down here in Texas where we just don't get snow like that. But I would absolutely love to test the Model Y in conditions like that. So no idea where user It's Alphanumeric was at. But looks like a heck of a lot of fun. All right, without further ado, the why of the week. So the best looking Tesla Model Y that I saw this week, for the first time, it's one without a wrap. It comes to us from user AdComplete4308. It just reads, "Picked up my Model Y long range yesterday. All it is, short, sweet, simple to the point. One photo, front left of the vehicle. It's a midnight cherry red Tesla Model Y. What looks to be with the 20-inch induction wheels. Man, it's a absolutely beautiful color. And it's one that unfortunately is not available in the U.S., which as I scroll through the post, that's actually the most upvoted comment from another two coast reads, "Man, I wish that was available in the U.S. It's the only color I would have paid money for over white." Another comment reads, "That's an S-tier color. Jealous." Another comment, "I have midnight cherry red too. Love it." This is an interesting one here. From Harry Major 6222, just says, does anyone know why this color is not available in the U.S.? A few replies, says, my understanding was the German plant has a more advanced paint shop. It's not possible here without upgrades. Anyway, Midnight Cherry Red, underrated color. Absolutely wish we got it in the U.S. The bright red, ultra red, I can't remember the exact name of it that we have here in the U.S. A little too bright for my liking. So something, this dark cherry color, absolutely gorgeous. So wins my Y of the Week shout out for this week. So shout out to you, AdComplete4308. 5-star review of the week. Shout out to user NFT Parent. Left a 5-star review on the podcast over on Apple Podcasts. It just reads, I love the podcast. Keep up the great work. NFT Parent, salute you, good sir or madam. Appreciate you for tuning in. If you guys did make it this far, I appreciate you guys. Give it a 5-star rating if you would feel inclined. On Spotify, on Apple Podcasts. And share it with a friend. I mean, that's how we grow this baby. As I said last time, from scratch, no ads, at least at this point. So share it with a friend, post it in channels, pause it right now, share it over with somebody. Much appreciated. I also left a poll over on episode 2 over on Spotify. I know I think most listeners are over on Apple Podcasts. But I left a poll on episode 2 over on Spotify that you can vote on. Basically, the question was, price aside, which Tesla model would you go with? So if every model was priced the same for whatever odd reason, would you still drive a Tesla Model Y? Or would you be listening to this podcast? Or would you prefer a Tesla Model Y? Or would you go with a Model 3? Would you go with a Model S? Would you go with a Model X or a Cybertruck? Frankly, my answer was Cybertruck. Could it just be because it's the new thing? I don't think so. Actually, I think it actually looks kind of funky. But the fact that you can get the regen braking, all the Tesla software, the Tesla functionality, the Tesla hardware, just the Tesla experience in general, and it's a pickup truck, and you get the speed seemingly of a sports car. It's hard to go away from that option. So that would be my vote, but feel free to fire off y'all's thoughts on that poll as well. Again, that's over on episode 2 on Spotify. Well, hey, I appreciate you guys if you made it this far. Episode 3 in the books. I will see you guys next week.